ברוך השם, בזכות רבי שמעון בר יוחאי.
Yeah.
The merit of רבי שמעון בר יוחאי.
Yeah.
We just after Lag Baomer, the big Hilula celebration for him. Like we finished last week, I told you that the specialty of רבי שמעון is that he wrote the Zohar. The Zohar, you know what Zohar means? Zohar is the glow of the light. רבי שמעון is one of the kind of righteous men that teach us how to run after the light and how to achieve the light. And like I told you at the end of the last class, Rabbi Nachman is the kind of a righteous man that teaches you how to deal with the darkness. We need all of them. We need them so much. All the tzaddikim to give us patience to our situations in life, to give us the wisdom how to interpretate right situations in a way that will build us and will give us enough power to just not to let go, not to totally break down. So hopefully today we're going to talk about popcorn.
Popcorn?
Yes.
Okay.
And the kind of Torah that you can learn, the machloket between the poskim, if you need to bless adama, bore pri adama, or she'akol. This is what we're going to talk about.
Wow. Really.
But first we're in Parashat Behar. Behar Bechukotai. In Parashat Behar we have immediately it's written Vayiper Hashem el Moshe Behar Sinai. מה זה Behar Sinai? We've been already to the Mishkan, to the sons of Aaron. We got a lot further in time. Now you're bringing us back to Har Sinai. What's going on here? All the commentators ask that question, מה העניין שמיטה להר סיני? What's the issue with שמיטה? שמיטה is the seventh year. After every six years that you work and you let the land work for you to grow, and you, the seventh year is like Shabbat to the land itself. So the commentators ask, what my inyan shmita le'ar Sinai, why is it so important for me to know that it was said in Har Sinai? And they have their answers. Rashi is saying that we should know that like shmita, that it's now it's written with a lot of, if this happened, all the small details of shmita, and so all the mitzvot with all the small details were given in Mount Sinai, in Har Sinai. This is what we need to learn from the fact that we're talking about Shemitah, and to the smallest details, it was said in Sinai. And because that we're jumping back in time in the story, it means that everything was given in Sinai. The concept of Shemitah is a very important concept to learn how to let go, to let go of things, let the earth be, let people around you to be, let yourself be who you are. To let go doesn't mean not to take care of things, not to have targets and missions in life. It's just to learn how to do it without stress. Not to forget your missions, not to forget your goals, but not to be in stress. Because everything that you achieve with using power to force yourself or someone to what you want to achieve is something that you're going to pay for in the future. Everything that you achieve by forcing someone or something, you're going to pay for in the future. Because like we said, the most important thing is the will. And if someone is being forced or something, even earth, the land itself, if you force it to something and it's not a natural process, you're going to pay for it. Because the will must expose itself. And it couldn't happen without a true, real will. And this is a terrifying rebuke to all of us to know that if Chas v'Shalom Mashiach will come before the time, we will also be a part of those who are going to dig their own graves, to bury themselves alive from the shame. Because doing Avodat Hashem, being inside the world of Torah and Mitzvot, without a true will, is not so far from not doing it at all. Okay. It's a minor change. It's a minor change. And the serious change must come when we do it with joy, with happiness. What can I say? I'm not keeping what I'm talking about. I just have to say it. I just have to say it because it's the truth. What?
I'm wondering what it means that you'll pay for it.
You'll pay for it if you have a child that you're forcing to be religious. He will leave religion one day because he must find his own connection to it. If you have a friend that you're expecting some kind of a behavior from her, and you're forcing her to behave like that, so she will leave you one day, and she will come back only when she's ready to be, when you are ready to, when you're both ready for a real relationship that have acceptance. This is how it goes. And if you're forcing yourself to something, you're also going to kick that bucket one day, unfortunately, and hopefully not. Okay, so you want to get to the popcorn?
Yes. No, actually, I think what you're saying is very true. It is very true. You can't force people.
Sometimes, if there is one object in the society that is causing trouble and terrorizing the environment, you might be right if you put him into jail.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like only standing in the side. But you're going to pay for it.
Okay.
You're going to pay for it when he's joining the mafia in the jail. Because this is where the mafia is established in most countries. So, popcorn. What should we bless? We have some of the poskim that say the blessing is Pri Adama. Because it's growing from the earth. And it's Pri Adama, it's not a tree. We have a Mexican friend that can teach us about it.
Okay. Popcorn trees.
The national fruit.
There's blue and red. Like 20 kinds of colors.
Wow.
Of course.
Must
of
be
popcorn?
So
of
beautiful.
Corn.
Really?
Like in Mexico, in Peru, there's more.
So one says it's Adama, and the second one says it's supposed to be She'akol Ni'a B'Dvaro. And all kinds of popcorn are white. What?
Yes.
Yeah. So we see in our eyes that the corn, from its nature, it's a part of its nature, that when you heat it enough, it just blow. And it reveals the purity that he has inside, that white, amazing white that it has inside. It's an amazing, amazing thing that is happening. I just found on YouTube a clip that is showing 500 times slower to see how it just...
Really?
Whoosh.
Wow.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
So amazing.
Yeah.
One say Adama, one say Shakol. We don't have an exact answer. You choose.
It's like for everything.
Yes. Everything that you don't know is a shekel.
Yeah. That's the thing I know the best.
Like Adam, are you recognizing that it comes from the earth?
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, you see that all kinds of corn, even the blue and the purple and the whatever, has a pure inner soul that reveals itself when you eat. So I was thinking yesterday, my children made popcorn. Really? And Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave me the merit that I'm looking for Torah inside of things that happened to me. So I thought to myself, why should I bless Adama on popcorn? What's the thought that is standing behind the poskim that say you should bless Adama? Because basically, it's a revealing, the popcorn, like we said before, that it's a revealing of the nature of the seed, and it's revealing something that was inside it all the time, and there is no one of the conditions to bless Sheakol is that the thing changed its shape. Like if you have a tomato and you crush it in a blender, you might, if and then you cook it, so it's not a tomato, it's a sauce now. It lost its shape. If you made a juice, you're not praying Borei Pri HaEtz on that apple. It's a juice now, so it's Sheakol. Okay? So the poskim that say that you should bless Adama say that it's the natural existence of that seed from in first place, and it didn't change its shape. This is how it is when you hit it, and this is how it looks after it pops. So you should bless Adama. This is I'd never read a posek answer about this blessing, but this was the concept that I thought about. And why? Okay, so there is no shape change. And why to bless Sheakol? Why are the poskim saying to bless Sheakol? Because that even if that pure, white, amazing, beautiful shape that is coming out of that seed was naturally inside it in first place, it was only a potential. But no one has a guarantee that it's going to reveal. And even if it will reveal, it's not such a clear understanding and something that we can know what shape it's going to have. Because each popcorn piece looks different. So for sure it is a change in the shape of the seed. Because before, in first place, all the seeds look the same. And now they all look different. Yeah. They're all white, they're all puffy. But but everyone has its own shape now. So for sure, it's one of the miracles of Hashgacha. For sure it's one of the miracles of the divine supervision. And that's a change. And if it's a change, this is why you should bless Sheakol Nia Bidvaro and not Adama. So we have two shitot. One say that it's the nature of it, so for sure it's Adama. It didn't change at all. You just made something to show that special seed. But the other ones say that you can never know if the potential is going to come out. And even if it comes out, how do I know, how would it look like? And like I was hinting to you in first place about this white purity that comes out from the seed when it pops. Actually, these two shitot, these two systems also are connected two concepts to reach the aspect of what is tshuva and what is geula, what is redemption, how is it going to look, what's going to happen. So from one side, us, Be'ezrat Hashem, as believers, Be'ezrat Hashem, we know that the nature of creation, the root of the will to create the creation, must included inside it tshuva and redemption that will come one day. It's a basic aspect and understanding. And the verse is saying, Emet me'eretz titzmach. The truth is going to grow out from the land, from the earth, from the lower part of creation. This is what we said before. To learn how to let go and to let the earth grow the truth. To let reality reveal the will. To let reality reveal the purity that is hidden inside it. It might take minutes. It might take weeks. It might take years. It might take decades. It might take thousands of years. But it will reveal. This is why you should bless Adama. Bless the earth. Bless reality. Bless physicality. Bless the creation to reveal the potential, to reveal its nature. But from the other side, if you look not on the root and not on the cause and not on the will of the Creator and only about the creation, on the creation itself, okay, we believe that Geula will come, that there is a tshuva, redemption will come, okay. But what's going to happen? If you look at the end, not in the beginning. Anyway, it's eternity. This is why both shitot are right. But if you look at the end, how is it going to happen? I see in front of my eyes only corruption, only filth, only problems and hard times and issues, and I'm sinning and I'm just keep on sinning all day. How is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? How am I going to even one day get out of that circle? What merit is going to save me, if not the merit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai or a righteous man in that level? Mm-hmm. Wow! How? Why? How is it rolling? The wheel is rolling. You see, the minutes are going by, the weeks are going by, years, decades, thousands of years. Okay, it's going to, purity will reveal, tshuva, redemption will come. Mm-hmm. But if this is how that train is driving until now, if I see all the stations behind me, what's the next one? Yeah. What's the one after? Where is it going? How could it be that it's on its way to redemption? For that, for sure, you can only bless Shakol Nia Bidvoro. But it's only in the hands of the divine supervision. It's only in the hand of the eternal intelligence of the Creator that Only he can understand what he's doing in his world. Because if I want to measure it and to test it in my own logic, so something is totally wrong here. Mm. Totally wrong. I don't know what he's trying to do. I have no idea what. I have no idea. Where is it going? Bezrat Hashem, what do you say?
I will say Adama from now on.
But the other side also sounds logical to me.
To count on Hashem?
Nachon.
No, yeah, of course. But I think it's both.
It is because both. This is why they're both true. But
yeah, it's like you have to bless the...
So we say, She Adama.
Yeah. If you're coming to the Rabbanut and they're asking you what you bless on the popcorn, so you tell them that I'm going to take a cucumber and bless Adama, I'm going to take a glass of water and bless Shakol, and then I eat the popcorn. Okay, so this is not a shiur, a class in halacha. I'm asking you not to drag me. No, it's fun, so we can talk halacha if you want, no problem. So this was about Parashat Behar. Actually, all the Torah is one, it's not going to change, chas v'shalom. Parashat Bechukotai, hard parasha, in the meaning that is talking exactly about the opposite concept of what I was saying before, because it's saying how big and how big and good is the reward if you will keep the mitzvot. How amazing your life you're going to have and all the blessing that you're going to have. Then it's saying the opposite side, how much you're going to suffer if not. Mm-hmm. How yeah. hard are you going to be punished if not?
For me it's very, very hard to think that Hashem punishes and
yes.
That's all those things. But it's also like a consequence. I think like Hashem is just telling you that if you do this, that this is gonna happen to you, but I'm telling you, so don't do it. But it's not like Hashem wants to punish.
It's all warnings, and it's.
Yeah.
I want to say that it's Hashem is letting you know the way of nature, because spirituality also has nature. This is the nature, the connection between physicality and spirituality, and like if we know that. People negative and have bad thoughts and angers and frustrations and caught into that circle, it won't contribute to their health, like we talked about it a few classes ago. And we know that positivity and happiness and good eye will help you with your health and healing. It shows that spirituality has an affection on physicality.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only spirituality, your mood is spirituality, but it's also happening in between your neurons in your brain,
yeah.
between electric messages that are sent to your organs. It's one thing, actually. There is no spirituality at all. There is no physicality at all. There is creation. There is nature. And nature, in Hebrew, hateva, has the same numerable value of the word God. Yes. So, actually, Hashem is just giving you the key. This is how nature is working. And like we said now, nature is not physical and it's not spiritual. It's just one unit that is happening. So Hashem is telling you what is going to be the consequence of each action or path that you're going to walk through. And we see that we didn't, as humanity and also as the nation of Israel, we see that we didn't want to skip any option. We tried it all. We tried all the paths.
Yeah.
We tried righteousness. We tried evilness. We tried separation. We tried unity. We tried everything.
Yeah.
And now we must get to the conclusion. To the right one.
Yeah.
Because we tried everything. Yeah. And it's crushing. It's crushing to read those verses because it's like it just seeing pictures from the Holocaust.
Mm.
It was all written in the Torah in the first place. We see it in Megillat Eicha, like, I don't know, about 600 years after this was given. What can you say? How can you imagine? And why do I say that we must get to the right conclusions? Because we cannot understand other realities out of the one that we live it at. Especially if it's so extreme.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot imagine a mother cooking her baby from hunger. We cannot imagine that. It makes us sick. And it makes us... No. It happened. Someone said it that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If... And it happened already. And less than 70 years after... We still don't remember and don't believe that it could happen. And it happened more than once in history. We just can't get it at all. It's not human for us. Because... So we must get to the right conclusion without understanding other realities. Just get to the conclusion that really... We need to trust the Torah.
Yeah.
It knows what it talks about.
Yeah.
It knows all kinds of natures, all kinds of realities, all kinds of popcorns.
Yeah.
It's amazing how to understand and to really know that there is no two popcorns in the history that are the same, were the same. And will be. No two flakes. No couple at all.
Uh-huh.
Each and every one is special. Each and every one is special. And even in spirituality, like we say, there is souls and spirits that are in circles and other lifetimes and all. It's always a new combination. It's not the same. It's the same soul with the spark of that spirit and a different spark from that.
Yeah.
It no two people that are the same. For sure no two people that look the same. It's crazy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
It's not something that we really
no.
can say that we have faith, we believe, we're believers and we're not. It's nothing, it's something that you cannot believe because you cannot
comprehend it.
You can believe or have faith in something that you know that is might be somehow, but something that you cannot grab at all is even farther than the something that you can be able to believe it. So, Parashat Bechukotai, with all the concepts of payment and rewards, and punishment is bringing a few of those laws. If you will do my laws, I will give you rain, and the land will give you food, and you will have confidence in your land, and I will give peace. No one will have fears except of your enemies. Five of you will run after hundreds, and hundreds will run after tens of thousands. They will just run away from you, and you're going always to have new food fresh on your table, and I will walk between you, Hashem is saying. התהלכתי בתוככם, inside you. And I will be your God. And you will be my nation. And Rashi is saying, I will walk between you, within you. I will take a walk with you in heaven, בגן עדן. Like one of you. What's the meaning? Because Hashem is not one of us. ולא תהיו מזדעזעים ממני. And you won't be how do you say? You won't freak out from me. But so Rashi is bringing a question. Could it be that we won't fear from him? This is why he's saying, "Vayiti lachem Elokim," I will be your God. Uh-huh. I will still be your God.
Yeah.
But you're just not going to be stressed. Yirah is coming from the letters of Re'ya, also the same letters. Okay. Like when you see a king.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Ah.
So everything is so, yes, that golden crown. And he's so, every detail in his looks, he's taking a haircut every day, you know, the king?
Yeah, I read it, yeah.
In the Jewish king.
I know, yeah, I read it in the Mishnah Torah.
Can, every day he needs to take a haircut. Every day. So you see him and he's just glowing, he's so... This is Ira'ah.
Ken.
That you kind of admire and attracted and fascinated. More than afraid. You just respect so much. Chas v'shalom, if you will not, I will skip. I will hate your sacrifices. I will be disgusted from them. Be disgusted from your sacrifices. This is why I started the class with that rebuke to all of us.
Yeah.
Because doing without a will, like I told you last week, when you want Hashem, you can know that Hashem wants you.
Yeah.
Because it's giving you a will. But if you're doing mitzvot without a will, you already know that Hashem is disgusted from your mitzvah.
Yes.
You can already know that. So what? What now? Should I don't do it?
No.
I must do it.
Yeah.
Why? Because if I won't do it, it's only going to get worse.
Nahon.
That's the right approach and logic. But then, you're also in a different world. Because you don't want, and you're forcing yourself, you're also going to pay for that. And about our feelings, and our will that The idea is, if you're doing without your will, it's something that you force yourself and you're going to pay for it. Okay. But there's only one rule that is an exception. When you're doing something for holiness, for Kedusha, a mitzvah, without the will, and not because someone else is forcing you,
mm-hmm.
because you know, and you're taking everything that you have to do it anyway without the will,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking about myself, and you might feel that I'm talking from my heart, because I'm really... The doing itself might give you the will.
Mm-hmm. It's true!
It's true. So the doing gives you the will.
Uh-huh.
And then you change. You're already different.
Yeah.
And you're not going to pay for it. In the meaning of the need, like I said before, to lose all the water because you want to achieve it by your own. You want to find your own connection to it. Already found it. And Be'ezrat Hashem, Be'ezrat Hashem. In that parasha, Hashem is saying, let's finish with that. Rashi is bringing it, and also Rabbi Natan is bringing it. Hashem is saying, I took you out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I want you to get to the land of Israel. It's not enough to fight and to try to get out of Egypt. If you don't have the right goal, you will never get out of Egypt. I'm taking you out of Egypt to bring you to the land of Israel. I'm taking you out of all your anxieties and fears and whatever to bring you to happiness. Not to leave you wandering space. I'm frying you. I was frying you in Egypt even, because I was waiting for you to explode and to reveal your beautiful purity that you have inside, and to yourself be discussed from the sins, be discussed from desires, be discussed from whatever is bad, and to really cherish and love the good. And this is the process, this is the path, this is how that rain goes, until we're really going to want the good, love, holiness. Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll have the merit to also do and keep. Good luck to all of us.
Thank you so much.